The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today, and I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second? Yes, this is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
So you mentioned that, in your opinion, development is less competitive than, say, like buying and holding a property. Can you talk some more about that?
Yeah, that's a great question. So one of the reasons I love development is because you kind of get to do a little bit of everything. You know, you're involved very much on the acquisition side, finding the right properties, due diligence. You are involved working with your, finance partners, potentially LPs and investors, bringing those individuals to the table as a GP. You're involved with your architects. You're developing the vision for what's possible with this particular property that you have. And then you're ultimately trying to ensure that you can get that built, you know, and doing a lot of the site development work, bringing on a GC to ultimately do the new construction, and then getting that out to sale. And so as a developer, that's a lot of different skill sets you have to have. And that alone weeds out a lot of individuals. it's not necessarily the easiest element, but more often than not, when you're a developer, you have some of the highest returns that you can gain of all the different ways you can make money in real estate. But because of that, there are not a lot of people that typically want to get in at that level in terms of what it takes to be able to do it, whether it be new construction, whether it be site development work. Versus, also typically when you're developing, you know, you're doing more than one unit, right? And so because of that, there's also a scale element that requires some additional capital beyond what's required for flipping. And so all of those things kind of filter out who ends up in the developer space. It's why we need more Black developers. There are a number of reasons why we don't have as many developers today that are Black that are tied to all of those different kind of filters that ultimately end up happening. So,
yeah. In your opinion, why do we have so few Black developers? What's a couple of reasons you think are prevalent?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are a number of reasons. One, I believe, is access to capital. That when you are, whenever you're developing, especially, for example, with multifamily, you're typically needing to be a guarantor on the loan, right? You need to be able to have a personal financial statement that demonstrates your existing capital that you have, and your ability that in the event that this was to fail, that you would be able, that the bank could effectively take something. Access to capital and the role that banks have played historically has been, again, one of the larger areas of friction and pain point for Black developers to be able to get into that space. The second thing is not necessarily something that you go to school for. There's not a major in development. You can do construction management, but again, because development is kind of working across all elements of the full vertical of real estate, it requires that you have access to networks. It requires that you have access an exposure to what's happening in that particular community and in other communities, having a vision for what's possible to build. And so those are areas where I feel like we just have not necessarily been able to create the foundation necessary in order for people to get there. And most often people will come into development from flipping. People come into development from being a real estate agent or a broker. People come in from the trades, right? I've already been owning a concrete company, and I've actually started thinking to myself, oh, I should actually think about vertically integrating across other trades. And actually I might as well start building things as well, right? This is not uncommon for individuals in the trades to start realizing that they could actually be involved as a builder developer. And so, but it almost always means that you have to have capital to start.
Yeah. That makes sense. What's worked for you in terms of like raising capital?
It's a great question. We only syndicate about 25% of the deals the properties that we work on, right? Mm-hmm. So we're not oftentimes raising a lot of money from LPs. But we do have some fantastic LPs and investors with us on a few of the projects that we do. I'd probably start off really with one of the biggest, chunks of the pie, right, is your banking partners. We are blessed. We have some of the best banking partners that we get a chance to work with. I regularly talk about the importance of making sure that, you match the property and what you are planning to do with it with the right funding, right? There are times for hard money. There are times for using a bank. There's times to bring in, LPs and investors. There's times to just do promissory notes, right? There are times for each of those different tools, and you got to be able to know when is the right time to use each of those different tools, depending on what outcomes you're trying to accomplish. And what I've found is that we traditionally like to use local banks by far the most. They are embedded in the community. They're invested in the community. They want to see outcomes that are a win for the community. When things start to go wrong, and invariably they will, if you're in the business long enough, you're going to have.
The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you, too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
The fastest increase in inflation that one has ever seen. You're going to have supply chain shortages. You're going to have recessions that you're going to have to face in headwinds. You want banking partners that are going to have your back and that are going to be there, pounding the table on your behalf and the conversations that matter when you're not there. And so we work with three different local community banks up in the Seattle and Tacoma, Washington area. And we do a lot to ensure that what we do isn't hidden behind cloaks, right? We regularly bring them out on site. We probably beyond just banks will already have kind of a monthly inspection of your construction, just to make sure that things are kind of progressing as you're saying they are, as you're doing your construction draws and whatnot. We go beyond that. We want to have them on site. We want to show them the progress that's happening. We give them access to our inventories. We walk them through where we're at on our budget. We ensure we have a very clear and solid narrative of what we're trying to accomplish. We've talked previously. I used to be a product manager in mm-hmm. tech. And one of the things that we used to talk about is we want to always make the user the hero of their own story, right? And so when we think about how we work with our banking partners or any of our investors for that matter, that's commonly exactly what we have in our mind is how do we make them the hero of their own story? Because of you, this community is getting X number of units. Because of you, we're raising the bar in terms of what living and lifestyles look like in this community. Because of what you are putting forth, and you're turning a profit at the same point in time. Yeah. So that is a huge part of how we think about bringing in the right people, financing, ensuring that we're able to get the runway to do the things that we're doing. So
definitely, man, I love that. I love that. So one of the things I would love to get into, so when you moved back to Seattle, how did you start to gain your own firsthand experience with development before you started taking on your own projects?
That's a great, great question. I think this is like a super helpful like way to think about it. Cause I think a lot of times people are always like, how do I get started? What's the best way for me to get into real estate? And you know, when I moved back to Seattle from Las Vegas, I'd already owned two properties at that point in time. So a part of me was like, man, all right, I kind of got this, right? I was a little sophomore. I was like, I got this and I know about property. Now I'm getting into the game. I see it. When moving from Vegas to Seattle is very different. That market up in Seattle is a lot more expensive than that market in Vegas was. Yeah. When our two houses we bought in Vegas, I bought my first one for essentially $150,000. Next house we bought in Vegas, $121,000. These were both four bedroom, you know, 3.5 bath. Both of them have pools and hot tubs. You know, these are nice houses, but we got them at, 2011, 2013 in Las Vegas was a good time to be buying. So we wanted to go up to Seattle and wanted to buy our first investment property. But even though I was from the Seattle area, Seattle had changed so much since I lived there. It was really clear to me that I didn't know exactly where the best places were to invest. And so I started looking in certain communities, started looking in Beacon Hill, looked in Georgetown. And I was like, oh man, these houses are going for like $450,000. This is a 3X increase on the cost than what I was doing on Vegas. And that was actually very scary at first. Mm-hmm. No different than when I bought my first house. The first time I bought my first house at $150,000, I was deathly scared because I was like, those are the biggest numbers I had seen at that point in my life. And you're like, man, I can't mess this up. And one of the things I used mentally to get over that fear was to say, hey, look, Dom, one day you're going to be a millionaire. One day you're going to be at this level. These numbers are going to be a drop in the bucket based off of where I ultimately want to be. And I need to get comfortable with numbers at that size. I need to get comfortable with $100,000. I need to get comfortable with $1 million. I need to get comfortable at the $10 million phase. So I had to really talk myself into, how am I going to be comfortable at $400,000, which seemed just absurd to me at the time. And now properties in Vegas are going for $400,000. But at the time, we rented an apartment, much to my chagrin. And I was talking to my dad about how I was really interested in trying to get into the property in Seattle. And he said, well, one of the best ways you can do that is to learn from other flippers and developers that are already doing this in the community. And I said, well, that's a great idea. And I was like, are there any ways that you can think of? He's like, well, I can introduce you to a few of my buddies that are flipping and developing. And what if you were to do some promissory notes with them? And for those that don't know what a promissory note is, all it is effectively a mortgage, right? Effectively, if I am a flipper, and let's say I'm trying to exit on this property that I bought within 9 months, I borrowed, a couple $100,000 from this hard money loan program or company, but I am short by $20,000. Things, cost a little bit more than expected. Instead of me going back to that bank and asking them for more money, which, you'll likely have an extension cost, you may have origination costs. Instead, what you will do is you can effectively get investment from other individuals.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.